All right, welcome into the second hour of the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe still on assignment. Actually, he's on assignment all week long. Fill in for him. On this side of the glass is none other than the very popular, very handsome Dr. Crane. Good morning, Dr. Crane.
Good morning. I mean, the introductions you give me are just
right?
top-notch.
I'm just reading what's in what people are saying on all the the social websites.
My Wikipedia page is just handsome. Popular. I mean, thank you, Joe.
You're welcome. Got a fun hour at 10:45. Celebrity birthdays, 10:30. UFC MMA fighter Jake Matthews will join us. David James now joins behind the glass. David, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
We talked about you earlier.
Oh, boy. Hopefully it's good things.
We'll get into it at 10:15, but we got serious guests now. Let's welcome, as we usually do on Mondays at 10 o'clock, former Titans punter Brett Kern to the show. Brett, good morning. How are we?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We're doing well. Brett, I want to start with this question off, which is kind of a serious question, but I want to know. So years ago, I used to play in a softball league with Vince Gill, right? So I asked Vince Gill, I said, Vince, why are you playing softball when you make millions with your fingers and your hand? And he said, I can't walk around scared all the time. I said, I got that. My question for you, Brett, when you had this break between the last mini camp before camp started, when you went to the beach or went somewhere, in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, my God, don't slip and fall. Oh, my God, I got to use my leg. I can't. Was that ever a problem in your mind? Like, I can't get injured because my career is my leg. Does that make sense?
100%. Oh, yeah. I definitely experienced that. I think that wasn't just over the break. I think that was just while I was playing throughout the whole year during the season. I mean, I was just careful, like, how I would carry, you know, one of our kids down the stairs.
Right.
Like, I'd make sure, all right, hey, do I have socks on? Do I not? Am I on a hardwood floor? I mean, down to, like, cutting strawberries, right? I didn't want a Scottie Scheffler happening. So, you know, I was very cautious, cognizant of kind of what I was doing. You know, I'd play basketball in the off seasons just for cardio and all that kind of stuff. And that was very, how would I say this, three-point line to three-point line. Like, I wasn't really going down there to, you know, try to get rebounds or anything like that, just because you knew, you know, an off-season injury could null any guaranteed money that you have. You know, guys, if you go skiing, you're on a motorcycle. I mean, there's plenty of things that you can do and get hurt. And I think I was just cautious. I was very cognizant of what I was doing because, you know, my job was to punt for the Titans.
Brett Kern's with us here on the Chase McJoe Show. Brett, you know, Nashville SC's been on a 14-game unbeaten streak.
Yeah.
I got to get your opinion on that, but also the Tennessee Titans, to me, just from an outsider looking in with press conferences, Brian Callahan seems to be pretty lax, pretty comfortable in his position. You know, when B.J. Callahan, when he came into Nashville, he wasn't relaxed. He wasn't really calm about anything. He was businessman to the point every single day, week in, week out. Just for me, on the outside looking in with the Titans, it just doesn't feel that way, even in year two after a horrible first season. How, I guess, for you when you were a punter with the Titans, how are you able to carry that momentum from, you know, this down period onto the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think I just took a lot of pride in what I did. You know, I wanted to be the best in the world at the position that I played. And so, you know, however a coach carried himself, his demeanor, press conferences, all that kind of stuff, you know, I didn't really pay attention to that much. But I just knew, like, for myself and the goals that I had and what I wanted to do, you know, with the team and what the Titans, you know, whether it was Alan Lowry, you know, Craig Aukerman, Steve Hoffman, you know, the special teams coordinators that I had over the years, you know, the goals that they put for me and kind of the goals that we had for special teams and, you know, for our punt unit and special teams in general, right? And just trying to be a leader, you know, for that group of guys, especially as I got older. You know, to help the younger guys as they came in and really just try to learn the game, learn special teams and all that kind of stuff. And so for me, like, you know, this kind of dead period, if that's what you want to call it, right, it was a matter of what I did, you know, routine-wise, tried to stay kind of in the same rhythm. You know, I'd go punt, try to punt on the hottest part of the day, you know, on turf, so it was even hotter, you know, just to kind of simulate practice and just kind of the mental drain that it could take on you because it's hot out, right? But you're still having to be focused, laser focused in and doing your job. And so, you know, I think for me personally, like what other guys were doing, you know, what coaches were saying, all that kind of stuff, like they're going to say stuff, they're going to do things. That's fine, right? But I think for me, I had, you know, so laser focused in on what I wanted to do to get better each and every year. And I just kept working on my craft to be the best that I could be.
And to that point, Brett, just with players in this downtime, you know, going back and way back in football, especially NFL, you know, Tom Brady in his downtime probably is with Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, all those guys. Yeah. That had their little groups. As for the Titans in today, I don't have that vibe. I don't feel that vibe. I know Cam Ward and Xavier Restrepo were throwing balls and so forth in this downtime, but like, how can the Titans get back to that or get to that?
Yeah, I think it's been different like each year. You know, I remember like when Matt Hasselbeck was the quarterback, we met at, you know, I think it was Father Ryan or Ensworth, right? And there'd be a group of guys that would come, and some of the receivers would ask, hey man, can you come over and, you know, hit some balls so I can work on return game, right? And so you kind of got together as a group, and you know, some quarterbacks, I think Marcus went and took the guys somewhere else to go throw. And I think it was just different depending on, you know, the quarterback. So I'm not sure if Cam's doing anything, you know, if they're meeting as a group, if they're, you know, getting together here and there, whether it's in Florida or wherever he's at, or if they're coming up here early before camp to start doing some stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously it's Cam, you know, being the quarterback, and, you know, the leader of this offense potentially, you know, getting guys together so that, you know, like I said, I think last week or the week before, they really don't have a lot of time before they're practicing right against Tampa. I think it's maybe 9 days. And then all of a sudden you're playing your first preseason game. So it's not like you can come in July 22nd and be like, all right, guys, here we go. Let's get on the same page. Like, you better be on the same page to start camp, or you're just going to kind of fall behind the eight ball. And obviously you don't want that for this group. You don't want them to fall behind the eight ball in things. You want them to start off on a good note, being on the same page. So that way, you know, Brian and the staff can start installing things a little bit quicker. And when they are installing, they're not falling behind, right? And so I think this time is critical for them, and I hope they are getting together to be on the same page.
We're talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern on the Chase and Big Joe Show. And I'm glad you're on, Brett, because I'm looking at the top stories in the NFL right now, and 1, 2, 3, 4 of them are of players accused of sexual assault. 2, money laundering with some players that it's going on, and 1 player is in cancer treatment. So I'm glad that we're talking Brett Kern on the show today to talk about something besides bad news that are happening. All right, so Dr. Crane brought up, are you a soccer fan?
Yeah, I'm a huge soccer fan. I watched the game Saturday night. I've seen most of the games this season, the ones that I can, and so it was pretty remarkable. You know, for Perez to get that red card in the 63rd minute, to be down 10 guys, and that much stoppage time, too. I think there was 8 minutes of stoppage time, and for Mukhtar to get that PK, and for him to connect, too. I know he's been struggling a little bit with the PKs this year, but for him to connect and to get that win, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty remarkable. You know, the game earlier in the day, I'm a big Bayern Munich fan, and they were playing PSG, and, you know, they went down 10 guys, and eventually, you know, PSG was down to 10, then down to 9, right? So there's 2 red cards for PSG, and PSG still found a way to win 2-0. It's a pretty remarkable game for SC, especially where they're at. The standings to slide up to second, you know, right behind Cincinnati. So they've been really fun to watch and to see Callahan come in. I've talked to Walker a little bit and just about like kind of the culture change, but also the roster change of kind of, you know, flipping their midfield a little bit, their tactics, or, you know, they're pressuring high on the ball when the other team's in the defensive zone. And so it's been really fun to watch. And you can see when a coach comes in, kind of change the culture, change the tactics, and guys are all on the same page, and they're, you know, they're buying in together what the result is.
I got to ask you now, because you've said all these nice things.
Yes.
About Nashville SC. Do you think Nashville SC is a cup-winning team this season?
I guess I would turn that around and say, why would they not be?
It's a valid point.
I think they are. The way they've played, the way they've strung together, you know, this last 2 months of soccer has been pretty impressive, right? And there's probably some games where you're like, man, they were up 2-0. I think it was against New York City FC, and they scored 2 goals in the second half to tie it 2-2, right? I mean, that's, you know, 2 points right there. And so I think they could easily be in first. Not only in the East, but in the whole MLS this year. And so I think they've been consistent. You know, guys like Mukhtar, Surridge, you know, they're scoring goals when they need to score. They're playing solid defense when they need to play solid defense. You know, I think Joe Willis got a 7th shutout of the season this past game. And so I think they're playing well. Like, why not? They got a tough road. Obviously, to be playing Wednesday night when most teams are playing, when they're playing D.C. For the Cup quarterfinal, I think. But then you got to go to Miami. You still got Columbus. You still have to go to San Diego, who's first place in the West. So, you know, they're playing some better teams. I think they were kind of beaten up on some of the teams that are in the bottom of the East, you know, Toronto, Montreal, D.C. Some of the teams are just kind of struggling this year. But so I'll be really, really curious to see how this next month or so goes, right? I think they got 14 games left. And, you know, kind of see what this next month brings for them with some tougher opponents, you know, at home and on the road. But I think to get that win against Philly, how they did especially, is a great start.
You know, it's funny. I'm looking at Brett at ESPN.com. I go to their soccer page, and I can't find anything about MLS. I've got to go to three drop-down menus to find MLS. Is that that's a problem, right?
It's a problem, yep. You know, I think – you know, obviously watching the PSG Bayern Munich game, you know, when you're talking about Europe and Champions League and all that kind of stuff, it's obviously a different brand of soccer. You're getting the best players in the world over there. And so it's just a different brand, right? It's a little bit balls on the ground, a little bit more, a little bit crisp, a little bit cleaner. But this is also, you know, you go to a game of Joyous and watch these guys play, man, this is some good soccer. They're playing some really good ball right now. And it's fun to watch. You know, like I said, the way they're pressing, they're creating turnovers, and all of a sudden that's allowing them to get more opportunities, you know, in the defensive zone, which is great. And so I think it's a fun brand of soccer to watch, but it's also, I mean, it's soccer, right? You know, the best athletes in America, I mean, what do they go play? They go play football, they go play basketball, baseball, right? And soccer just kind of falls down along the way in the pecking order, I guess you can say, right? Because then you look at the Gold Cup, right, and you got USA and Mexico in the final, and Mexico pulls it out, right, and which you would think USA should be able to pull it off. But so there's just, I think it's a shame that the MLS falls that far down, but that's just kind of where sports fall in America.
Well, Dr. Crane's on a mission, Brett, to make it the number one sport in America, that and baseball.
Well, yeah, baseball needs to come back to relevancy. It has to.
To get it there. Go ahead.
No, I kind of struggled, you know, growing up. You know, baseball, I used to love watching baseball as a huge Indians fan or Guardians fan, whatever you want to call them now. But, you know, I loved watching baseball, right? And I think the whole Barry Bonds steroid era, it just kind of felt a little tainted. And I think for some people, that's just still there, right? Like you see Aaron Judge go out and do what he did. Yes, he's a massive human being and he's strong. And it looks like he could just barely swing and that ball's, you know, 375, 400 over the fence. But, for me, that just kind of tainted it a little bit, and so. But I think it's coming back, and now that the game's a little bit quicker, I think that's a little bit more enjoyable too.
Well, good. I'm with you, man. I mean, we need all these sports to come back to some sort of relevancy, so we could talk about it, have more to get into. Before we go, we're talking a movie that made you cry, Brett, because 31 years ago, Forrest Gump came out. There's got to be one movie that just, oh my gosh, and it just, the tears come out. What is it for you?
All right, so I'm going to have to admit this over public airways in Nashville, but we went on vacation over the dead period last week, and, you know, the flight home, I decided to watch Rudy for the first time of my life, at 39-year-old man watching Rudy for the first time.
Right.
So, and I'm not going to lie, I'm sitting on the plane, I'm sitting next to my wife, my kids are in the, you know, the aisle next to us, and, you know, when Rudy comes out of the tunnel there, man, I was like, hold it together, right?
Yes.
I was tearing up a little bit, and I think I know that emotion of coming out of a tunnel in front of a ton of people, and, you know, for as long as I played, you know, that moment of coming out is emotional, right? I think you're very thankful, very blessed to be able to come out of a tunnel like that, and so there's a lot of emotion to it. So, but to see what he put into it to get there and to finally be able to run out of the tunnel, I was like, dang, man, I'm crying on a Southwest flight back to Nashville. And so Rudy definitely got me. That one and Cool Runnings. Cool Runnings growing up, that one got me when, you know, they crashed the bobsled and everybody's clapping and all that kind of stuff as they're walking down the, whatever you call the bobsled slope, where I don't even know what you call that thing, but track, race, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one growing up a little bit, that one got me too. So
that John Candy, I mean, that is a massively underrated movie. Yes, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes.
Really so good.
Those two, you know, Rudy definitely got me, and then Cool Runnings when I was younger, you know, middle school, high school, that one got me too. So
well done. Brett, as always, we enjoyed the talk with you, my man. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Yep. Y'all have a great week.
All right, Brett Kern, former Titans punter, join us here. And look at you. You got a fellow Calcho on the soccer fan with him.
Yeah. Brett's a great dude.
Although he might know just a tad bit more about soccer than you do.
That's fine.
I mean, that's pretty good, right? I mean,
yeah.
He got into it. What was the game he announced that happened earlier today? SB?
Oh, PSG versus Bayern Munich. That was the match, yeah.
Who was that?
That Bayern Munich's in the German Bundesliga and PSG's in the French league.
And they play each other?
Yeah, it was in the Club World Cup.
So that's not like Premier League stuff?
No, it's basically the best of the best in the world play against each other. Technically, it's the Champions League, but you know, this is the Club World Cup different.
I'll get you all that knowledge. Hey, we got at 10:30.
We got Jake Matthews, Mr. Chiseled Adonis. I don't know how else to describe the guy.
What does he do?
He's an MMA fighter, Joe.
When are they? What? Why is he coming on the show?
He is fighting in a match coming up pretty soon.
Where? When?
I think Nashville.
Here. Yeah, on Saturday.
Yeah.
Wow. Saturday. All right, we'll talk to Jake Matthews at 10:30.
Crush us and.
But first,
uh-oh.
We have to talk to somebody else that he has a statue named after him. We'll tell you who it is. Come back next, right here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. God, I feel bad interrupting this wonderful song. Sounds so good.
What's worse to interrupt, Lee Greenwood or this?
Both? I mean, I've seen people get shipped off interrupting Lee Greenwood. Never saw him again.
Yep.
Never saw him again. So, so Lee Greenwood or Steve Earle, you can't do that. All right, so David James is joining us, the producer who I love to hear talk. David, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
We were talking about statues earlier. We have a guest come on at 10:30. Nick says this UFC fighter is built like a statue where?
Statue of David in Florence, Italy.
No, but you said St. Peter's Basilica.
Yeah, also St. Peter's Basilica, they have a bunch of statues chiseled.
And I said, what about the naked guy? And he said, that's?
Statue of David.
And I said, we need a statue of David James.
You know.
We can have boxers on. That's okay.
Okay, thank you.
Because we don't want to scare the populace.
Exactly. We don't want to do that to those people out there. Those poor people don't need to see that.
Yeah, Dad, I love to hear you talk, man. I mean,
I appreciate it.
It's the best. What do you got coming on DVD today? David's the producer for DVD.
Yes. So we're going to be talking about just a few things. Obviously, TD's going to be coming on at 1 o'clock. We'll be talking about are the Titans – let me actually get the sheet right here. Are the Titans dangerously fragile around Cam Ward is one of our topics.
Oh, get it, man. What time can we expect that topic today?
That's around the 11 o'clock hour.
So you go from producing us, which is like a high school show, to like DVD, which is like producing like a big network show. So thanks for dropping down with us. It's like from Major League Baseball to single A.
I got
to
help out Nick Frazier, man. Of course.
We're single A.
Appreciate it.
By the way, our handsome intern, Paolo, is back there today. Again, Ian and Chase, I mean, we hire the best-looking interns in America, right?
Yeah, and the Foo Fighters will be performing later on this evening. This is Saturday night. I mean, you just introduced everybody.
Right. Where are they performing?
Somewhere.
Foo Fighters?
Yeah, Foo Fighters.
Okay.
Your backyard, I believe.
Last year with Colin Kadoof, I mean, that guy is on like every modeling magazine in the world. I mean,
talk about a famous mustache.
Right.
It's everywhere.
And now next year, Paolo will be on these. I mean, it just happens. Our interns bounce off and they go, there's handsome. So, yeah.
5% royalties, by the way.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of good things. All right, well, this is a short break. Come back. Dr. Crane, who do we have next?
Jake Matthews, the Australian phenom. We'll call him the Tasmanian devil. How about that?
Oh, I hope he doesn't like it and comes to fight you.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. If you're going to the UFC fight on Saturday, a lot of you are. Jake Matthews will join us next right here, 102.5 The Game. Little Foo Fighters there for you since Dr. Crane says they're in concert somewhere in the world tonight. Isn't that right?
It's your backyard,
man. My backyard.
On your speaker.
That's right. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. Big event happening Saturday night in Nashville, which you guys are going crazy for. It's UFC returns to Nashville Saturday night. And we are honored right now to have one of the guys who's fighting on Saturday night in that card. Jake Matthews joins us on the show. Jake, good morning. Welcome to Nashville. How are we today?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well, thank you.
Is this your
first? Trying to catch up on sleep.
All right. Is this your first time in Nashville?
First time in Nashville, yeah. I've been to a few places in America to fight. First time in Nashville, though.
Oh, it's fantastic. All right, tell us about what's going on Saturday, who you're fighting, and what's at stake Saturday night. Because I tell you, Jake, Nashville has gone crazy for UFC.
Yeah, it's we've been here a couple of days now, and it's a beautiful place. But, UFC on Saturday night, and I'm fighting Chidi Njokwani. He's a very, very accomplished fighter. I've been fighting a long time. He's tall, got a Muay Thai style. And, both of us like to stand and bang, so it's going to be an exciting fight. And I think, you know, the winner of this fight is going to be able to move on, potentially get a ranked fight with a top 15 fighter. So, it's going to be an interesting one.
I love it. Now, let me ask you this question. It's kind of a dumb question, but I'm curious. When you play, you know, football or baseball or basketball, whatever, soccer, you have tape on your opponent, a lot of tape. How much tape do you watch on this guy you're fighting Saturday night?
Look, we do study. It's more the coach's job to study and implement the game plan is into training. I will watch the fights just so I know, obviously, where his strengths lie, where his weaknesses are. But the coaches will watch more of the content than I will.
Jake Matthews was with us here on the Chase McJoe Show. Jake, you know, you have a background in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Where does that, I guess, match up for you going up against your opponent for Saturday night?
It's good because, you know, I back my boxing. I love my boxing. That's probably my first line of defense. But having that black belt in Jiu-Jitsu and having my wrestling background, it's going to be good in this fight, especially because obviously Chidi's long. He's got good Muay Thai, good striking. So if I do need to take it to the ground, I definitely can. And I know that I can get the win on the ground. So it's just another aspect of the fight that if, you know, worst case scenario, we're having trouble on the feet, we can switch it up and we can hit the ground.
And when you were a part of the Ultimate Fighter TV show, I guess, what did that really, I guess, help you learn going forward into your career up to now?
The biggest thing was that was my first fight in an actual octagon. In Australia, the octagon was actually illegal when I was fighting back then. So we were fighting in a boxing ring. So it was a learning curve just to, like, firstly to learn about the octagon, but also learn to fight outside of your comfort zone. You know, we're fighting in a gym where there's, like, you know, just the teammates watching. So there's like 10 people watching the fight. It was very quiet. A very different environment to fight in as opposed to fighting in a stadium. So it taught me just to fight when you're uncomfortable, expect the unexpected. And obviously, you know, it worked out because we ended up fighting in the UFC Apex a few times, which is the same sort of environment. Very weird, very quiet when you don't have a crowd there.
You know, we're talking to Jake Matthews, UFC fighter, MMA fighter, big event coming to town on Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena. Now, you last fought in February. You beat Francisco Prado. You beat his face in. Good job, Jake. Do you like the – so you haven't fought in 5 months. Do you wish that was sooner? Do you like it spread out that far? How does that work for you?
Yeah, so I originally had a fight booked about a month ago with Chidi. But I had to go help a friend. I had to go corner my friend because I committed to that. So ideally I would have fought a bit earlier. I would like to get 4 fights in this year and I still think that's possible. But we are trying to be much more frequent with our fights and fight more often. And, you know, I'm 31 now. I started when I was 19. I've been in 11 years. So I think now's the time to really put the foot down, get as many fights as possible and stay active.
Yeah, what is your, you know, you're 6 days out or 5 days out from a match on Saturday. Do you train hard this week or is the training already, as we say, the hay's in the barn? What do you do the next 4 to 5 days to stay as you are before you get ready for the fight?
Yeah, we do train. Look, we'll probably get one hard session in during the week just to keep the lungs open, keep the body moving. But it's a pretty cruisy week. Our sessions are usually, you know, a nice slow run, go for a few miles, and then we'll just get on the pads, get a bit of wrestling in, get the body moving. It's nothing too hard. You really, you know, in it, for my case, I really want to take this week to let the body recover from the training camp and go into the fight as rested as possible.
I love it. We're talking to Jake Matthews, brought to you by Rich Marr Florist. Go to richmarrflorist.com for more information on that. All right, so, you know, with the you travel over here, when did you get in town? How much rest do you need to acclimate your body to, I guess, Nashville time, Jake?
Here on Friday, and probably last night was the first good sleep that I had and acclimatized to the Nashville time. Obviously, you know, it's probably as big a time difference as you can get from Melbourne, Australia to here. So it took us a few days, but I mean, I've been doing this since I was 19 years old. So my body has gotten used to getting over the jet lag quick. And we just take the first 2 days just to sleep, relax, get some good food in, check out the city, get in the sun. You know, it's the weather's terrible back in Australia, so it's good to get some sun here. and that helps the body acclimatize quicker.
Jake, you know, a lot of fighters in the UFC have a like home base here in the U.S. when it comes to fighting a lot of fights in the UFC. For you, I guess, is it Melbourne? You go back home after every other match?
Yes, I do. Yeah, back to Melbourne.
Okay. And you being a Melbourne guy, I think I might be the only person here in Nashville that's an NRL fan. Are you a Melbourne Storm fan by chance?
Fan, yes, yeah.
So you like their chances this year to win it all?
I mean, it hasn't been too bad this year. My focus is more on the state of origin. So I don't know if you're familiar with the state of origin that's on at the moment. So, I'm my own supporter. But I think any Storm has a chance. They're competitive every single year, and that shows their consistency.
Do you know if Cameron Munster will be playing in the state of origin after the passing of his father?
I have no idea, actually, no.
Okay. I was trying to read up on some stuff on that. I didn't see anything. But, yeah, I'm ready for State of Origin 3. It'll be great.
Yeah, can't wait.
Awesome. Well, appreciate it,
Jake. Yeah, you got your questions in there on that.
I just get excited anytime about anybody's from Australia, they mention, I'm like, I got to ask about the NRL.
All right, well, you could do that. Let me ask you this, Jake. When you come out to the ring, do you listen to music? What gets you fired up? What gets you pissed off, I should say?
I don't really listen to that much music, to be honest. I'm more of a podcast guy when I'm in the car. Mm-hmm. But I like to train in Australia and say I'm an Australian-born fighter. And when it comes to the music, I pick an Australian artist. So there's an artist in Queensland. He's called Lissy. It's kind of an Australian rapper, I guess.
Okay.
And I've had that song for the last five fights, and that it's kind of a feel-good song. But it does have the beat is more, I don't know, it works for me. It's an upbeat song, gets the blood pumping, gets the energy going. I don't necessarily have a song that makes me aggressive and angry. I fight best when I'm more happy. and the body can loosen up, yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I can only fight when I'm angry, so there we go. I like that. Jake, thank you for doing this. I know you got a busy week ahead of you. We'll see you Saturday. Again, Nashville loves this. There'll be a huge crowd there. Best of luck, and when you become the biggest champion ever, you'll remember this interview you had on 102.5 The Game, Jake. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate having me on.
All right, thank you very much. Jake Matthews, UFC fighter, MMA fighter.
Queenslander. He's a Queenslander.
Did you get your little question in there?
I did. I had to ask it.
Did he answer it?
He did.
Why didn't you ask him about darts? Do they play darts in Australia?
They have an Australian darts thrower, yeah.
Okay.
They have a team. I think Damian Hetta is the guy.
What about rugby? Did you ask? You should have got some rugby.
I did.
Is that a rugby question?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if that was
State of Origin is like their all-star game, sort of. It's in the middle of the season where they have – it's a three game series, and it's Queensland versus New South Wales, and they go up against each other. The best of the best.
I thought State of Origin was some dispensary here in Nashville.
Well, probably so.
All right. We'll take a break, come back with the celebrity birthdays. And what day is it you're listening to a really bad Chase and Big Joe show right here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. All right, welcome back to the final segment of the Chase and Big Joe Show. DBD will come your way from 11 to 2, Stillman 2 to 6. Is he in today or is he off today? I don't know what's going on anymore.
Stillman? I think he's off.
Jake and Connor Newt. Jake Lyman and Connor Newt.
Okay, all right then. So, yeah, we've got some call-ups today. We're on vacation time for everybody. A week from right now, we'll be at SEC Media Days. We'll have a lot of fun down there as well. Chase McCabe off the rest of the week that's going on there. Jake Matthews, are you going Saturday if you can to the UFC fight?
Yeah, I will definitely make a big attempt to go.
Okay.
A big attempt.
Just say yes or no.
Yes, I will go.
Okay. You taking David James with you?
No, I'm going to probably take my brother if he wants to go.
Oh, that's rude. David, I'll see if I can get you a ticket by yourself.
I think I'm good. I don't really care for fighting.
You don't like the ballistics of just punching back and forth?
No, I'm that's not my style. Not for me.
I love it, man.
But you know what is your style? You know what started today, David James?
What?
High school football.
Darn right.
Yep, the dead period is over for high school football begins. They cannot fully practice, I think, for a week or two.
They act
like weight room stuff, on the field stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think next week is helmets and then helmets, shoulder pads, and then on and on. So high school football is back. Love high school football.
Yep.
It's the best.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Do you really love it?
I love it. Love it. Like it a lot. Thanks for all the responses today about 31 years ago. Forrest Gump came out. What movie made you cry? Field of Dreams pretty much takes the cake. Number one, Where the Red Fern Grows, got a lot of. Rocky is on there. Like, not Rocky, Rudy.
Rudy.
Like,
Rocky is, you know, you call it a love story. Some people call it a sports.
Rocky Adrian! Is, Rocky is, like, we like you talking. We don't like you interrupting.
My bad.
Rocky is a love story. It's not a sports movie. Rocky's 100% a love story just built around sports. You disagree? Everybody, Jim Wyatt disagreed with me.
And what was his birthday last week?
It was. He turned a whopping 32.
That guy never ages.
No, he does not, does he? With that being said, do you have the commercial to read?
I don't.
Okay, maybe I should find that commercial.
I mean, I can get it for you if you want me to.
Yeah, why don't you read the commercial?
Yeah. Let's do that. Yeah.
All right, ready? What's your name, David? David, hit it, buddy.
Oh, boy. Celebrity Birthdays is brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. They're all over the place. Celebrity Birthdays is brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc.
Jarrett Companies,
double T there. Their commercial plumbing and HVAC division covers all refrigeration service maintenance needs. JarrettCompanies.com. Above and beyond industry standards, Jeff.
Above and beyond.
Not below, above.
Jarrett Companies is fantastic. Use them. All right, let's hit it.
All right. First, unless we have National Chocolate Day. We know how much I love chocolate. Dark chocolate's pretty good.
I told you about Thin Mints.
Lethal.
You eat a man, they're thin, so they don't count.
Do you ever eat Oreos with your coffee?
My coffee? No. Yeah. I have Oreo McFlurries all the time, which you can tell by the shape I'm in, how good it works on me.
Pretty good shape.
Thank you.
Global Forgiveness Day is today. National Dive Bar Day. National Macaroni Day. Macaroni and cheese is pretty solid.
Wait, but Dive Bar Day?
Dive Bar Day, yeah.
Man, that's our question tomorrow. The best dive bars.
I was going to name one, but never mind.
Name it.
The Brown's Diner. It's not a bar per se, but Brown's
Diner.
It's
not a dive bar.
But it's, you know.
That's a damn restaurant.
Hole in the wall, sort of.
No, it doesn't work that way.
All right. Father-daughter take a walk day today. So, you know, if you got a daughter, go take her for a walk. National Strawberry Sundae Day is today. And the last is Pinocchio pictured in here is Tell the Truth Day.
Tell the Truth Day. And your nose grows.
Yeah.
If you don't tell the truth.
That's correct.
All right. David James, you ready for this?
I am ready.
Celebrity Birthdays brought to you by Jarrett Company. Did you already read the commercial, Dr. Crane?
Yeah, I did.
Speed reading that damn thing going through there. All right, Celebrity Birthdays. Our first birthday. Oh, man. Peace and love. Ringo Starr. How old is Ringo Starr today?
75.
84.
85 years old. David James on the board. Dave, you got a nickname yet?
Not yet, no.
Okay, we'll work on that for you. Like Dr. Crane. All right, the funny comedian Jim Gaffigan.
62. 56.
59. You guys on opposite ends of that. Nobody gets a point there. Former Olympic skater Michelle Kwan. He's beautiful. How old is Michelle Kwan today?
46.
49.
45. Dr. Crane's on the board. We're tied at one. I like this. Country singer Maddie Marlowe. I guess she's with Maddie and Tay. I couldn't tell you a single song they sing, but that doesn't matter. Maddie Marlowe.
29.
27.
30. Dr. Crane knows his young country stars.
Indeed.
Up 2-1 on this right now, Dr. Crane leading. All right, here we go some more. Let's see here. Singer David Hodo. He's a construction worker of the Village People.
88.
76.
78. David James with a stab in the dark makes it 2-2. Well done. Let's see here. Singer-songwriter Vonda Shepherd. She was on Ally McBeal.
Vonda. What a name.
Mm-hmm.
72.
We're going to go with 78.
62. Actor Georgia Fox. She was on West Wing and CSI. Georgia Fox.
59.
65.
57. Dr. Crane goes up 3-2. Proud of you, Dr. Crane. We got a lot of birthdays here today. Let's get through these. Rapper Cassidy. Rapper, I know you sing a lot of Cassidy songs.
You know I do.
Rapper Cassidy. 22.
45.
43. We're tied at 3. How the hell do you know that?
Come on. She's my favorite rapper.
Okay, you're right. All right, time for a little more, some more. Doc Severinsen, he was the conductor of The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. How old is Doc Severinsen?
I'm going to go with 84.
88.
98 years old. We still got more. We're not. Hold on. We got more. We got time. It's 3-3. How old is Downtown Freddie Brown? He led the Seattle Supersonics to the NBA titles back in the 70s. Downtown Freddie Brown.
72?
75.
77. David James up 4-3. Ralph Sampson played at Virginia. 7'4", never won a national championship while at Virginia, but had a heck of a career in the National Basketball Association. Ralph Sampson.
77.
82.
65. Hockey player Joe Sakic?
Psychic.
Sakic. S-A-K-I-C. I don't know. I don't follow hockey. Unless it's the Predators. Joe Sakic? Did I say his name wrong? I probably
34.
Did. I don't care.
No. I think you got it right.
I don't say that, but I said it anyway.
Like a sack of crystals. Sack.
I think he's probably about 49.
56 years old. Two birthdays left. David James up 4-3. You cannot let David James beat you.
All right.
Great basketball player, Lisa Leslie. How old is Lisa Leslie?
44.
52.
53. James up 5-3. Final birthday, the great receiver played at Colorado, Michael Westbrook. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame, played with the Redskins. He's not as good as our Derek Mason, though. But Michael Westbrook, how old's Michael Westbrook?
59.
56.
He's 53. And with that, David James wins 5-3.
Hey, well done,
boo,
David.
Boo,
I mean, that's – come on, man.
I'll do better tomorrow.
What did we learn on the show today?
Don't speak fast.
How many days out from college football?
We are 47 days away from college football.
Which college football team has never won 10 games in a season?
Vanderbilt.
That's right.
That's it.
Never won 10 games.
I'm not going to say the other one, though.
NBA had – how many teams were involved in a trade this weekend?
Seven.
Which is insanity, right?
Stupid.
Which, yeah, it really is stupid. What movie made you cry?
For me, I think – I forgot what I said. What I know Brett Kern said Rudy. I don't know.
Lilo and Stitch. You told me during the break.
No.
Lilo and Stitch made you cry.
I don't think I ever said it.
When that Stitch popped out of Stitch.
I mentioned Titanic. That's what it was. Titanic.
Okay. Yeah. You got to do something. All right. David James, any movie make you cry?
Definitely Hallows Part 1 when Dobby died.
Who?
Harry Potter.
When Dobby died, he's a he's from Harry Potter.
Okay. Harry.
Elf or something.
Yes.
Harry Potter. I need to watch Harry Potter.
It's really good. I liked it. It's a really good movie. Right. And really good books, too.
Is that the one where the Die Hard guy dies?
Yes.
Is that it? Okay. All right. All right. Let's show for it. As we leave, the Hans from Die Hard was in Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
Right? Wasn't he a bad? Was he a bad guy in Harry Potter?
Technically, yes, but also no.
All right. That makes no sense, but thanks. It's kind of like our show today from 9/11. Hey, we'll leave the show. Our message is always to the guys out there. If you are struggling, please, on your cell phone, you can call or text 988. Somebody's always there to talk to you. We're always here to talk to you. Please, please reach out to anyone if you're going through anything. We're here to talk to you all the time. As I say all the time, our world is a better place because you are here. Know that we love you. More important, more than anything else in the world, God loves you. DVD's next.